As you, as some of you don't know, Pastor Don is a volunteer coach at the Wildwood Middle High School, and he worked with the kids. And this weekend they are in Jacksonville at one of their meets, and so that's where he's at. So I am it today. So fasten your seat belts. Make sure your table and chairs are in an upright and locked position. And let's go for the journey. We are in a series called Joy in the Journey. And some of us are wondering, there is not always joy in the journey. Sometimes there are troubles, there are heartaches, there are pain. But what is the Apostle Paul trying to say when he said there is joy in the journey? And because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that whatever happens to us, we can turn it into joy. We can look at it at a closer level and turn it into joy. I remember James says in his book, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. And we said, what is there to joy about when we have temptation? But look at it this way. We have temptation in an area of our life where the enemy thinks that he has or he can make a headway. And we have joy because that was pointed out to us. Now we can work in that area and become stronger. And that's where the joy comes in. And so today, as we look at this passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, there is, if not, there is one in the row of chairs in front of you. But those who you have your Bibles, you may want to write, underline things, stuff like that. But in this section, in Philippians 2, 1 through 11, can be entitled Joy in Serving, Imitating Christ's Humility. There is also the theme of unity in this passage of Scripture. So let's look at the passage of Scripture, and it's going to be on the PowerPoint in Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort of His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then take my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Some people are still trying to figure out how that's going to work. Consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And just a couple more verses in Psalms 133, 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They devoted themselves, talking about being together, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, being together in unity, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In Ephesians 4 and verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And Ephesians 4:13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. Unity is very, very important. I have something here I'd like to kind of demonstrate to you what I think unity is all about. Someone asked me if I'm going to be whooping people this morning, because I brought my, not only my switch, but my switches. So when one breaks, I go to the other and I use the other one. But what this signifies is unity, is togetherness. Unity also indicates that there is strength and that there is power. When God's people or the church family is unified in unity, things can happen and will happen, good things, that is. And let me just show you quickly of how all of this works. This is not in the PowerPoint, so I want you to bear with me. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They were all together in one place, of one mind, one mindset. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon each of them. And all of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. When God's people are together, things can happen. Now, when the enemy looks at this body, when the enemy looks at Hope Community Church, and he sees this, and he's thinking, how can I come and make an attack, or how can I penetrate the defenses of this body? And he sees it, and he says, you know something? I can't probably make a whole lot of headway with the body. But the enemy sees this. He sees some people who were separated from the body. And then say, I could attack here. And more than likely, I could make some penetration. Maybe I could break them down. Now, I think the strongest person might be maybe Don. Don, would you like to come up here for a minute? And I want you to try to break that. Put your hand right here.
Right here?
Yes.
Right here?
Yeah. No, you can't do it, huh?
Nope.
Okay, wait a second. Try if you could break that. What about this one? This one is a little bit bigger.
Harder.
Go ahead. Huh? All right. Now, the whole idea is that when the body is unified, we can be together, we can stay together, and it strengthens. And so the Apostle Paul is just telling us that's one of the themes of this passage of Scripture. But the other things he wants to point out to us in the joy of serving or the joy of giving, he says, first of all, make my joy complete. That's the very second verse. He says, then make my joy complete. Now, how do we make the joy complete. How do we do that? And first of all, it says, be an encourager. Be an encourager. When Paul was converted and he became a Christian, and he announced it, he proclaimed it, that he was a believer in Jesus Christ. A lot of the people did not believe him because he was notorious against the Christian church. He broke up fellowship. He put Christians in prison. And people shy away from him. We don't believe him. But guess what? Big-hearted Barnabas took him in, and he stood beside him, and he encouraged him in his newfound faith. And then Paul, knowing that there is someone who believes in me, he was indeed encouraged. And so we too can be an encourager to people by being supportive of each other in what they're going through in life. We can stand beside them, that individual, and we could say, you can do it. Don't give up. Keep pressing on. And I'm praying for you. How can we do this? We can be a comforter. And this is not talking about the Holy Spirit being the comforter. This is talking about us as a family, as Christians, that we can be a source of comfort through others in whatever they are going through. And because we have the Holy Spirit within us, who is the comforter, we will be able to be a comforter or comforting other people, other Christians. In Isaiah 41, it says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord." In Matthew 5:4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." How do we make the joy complete? We encourage fellowship. In Philippians 2:1, it says, "If any fellowship with the Spirit," in Acts chapter 2:1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. That's fellowship. Now, how do we encourage fellowship? One of the ways, or a few of the ways that we can do this, pick up the phone, call someone, and says, "Hey, we miss you in church last Sunday. I will see you in church this Sunday." Pick up the phone and call someone and say, "Hey guys, this Saturday we have men's fellowship breakfast at 8 o'clock. We're going to have biscuit and gravy." One of the favorite things we do. Or pick up the phone and says, "Hey, this ladies meeting this Tuesday or Wednesday, game night." But encourage fellowship. Or anything else we can do, invite someone. Maybe take them out to dinner or some kind of ball game or whatever. But encourage fellowship, which is very important. Another way we can do this is be tender-hearted and compassionate. Be tender-hearted and compassionate. In 2:1, if any tenderness and compassion. Now, is everyone deserving of your tenderness and compassion? Probably not. But guess what? We have to do it because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts and lives. And because of that, that propels us to want to be tender-hearted and compassionate. Before that, maybe we didn't have all of that, but now that Jesus Christ is there in our heart, we're able to do it. Being like-minded. In chapter 2 and verse 2, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded." In verse 2 and 5, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ." thus like-minded. The King James Version put that verse this way: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think about the mind of Christ and what that looks like? Look at the life of Jesus. Look at all the things that he have done. And that in itself will tell you of the mind of Jesus. The people he took in. The people he watched after. And the mind, the love, the goodness, the kindness, the forgiveness. You just name it. Being of the same mind or like-minded does not mean that it has to be a cookie-cutter type of thing. No, it doesn't, because we all have our differences. But at least we can agree to disagree until in the end you agree with me. But that's what being like-minded is. But here is the thing. One thing for sure is that we need to keep in mind that there is one common denominator in all of this, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind, foremost on the top of your list. Love like Jesus loved. Chapter 2, verse 2. Having the same love, Jesus' love was unconditional. Jesus' love has no boundaries. And how much did he love us? So much that he gave his life for us. You have seen the picture and that says, how much do you love me? And someone probably stretch out their arm so much. And that's the sign of the cross. That's how much he loved us. Having one spirit and one purpose. Being in the spirit and one purpose, that is, we must see people come to Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of all of this. And to be a part of the kingdom of God. That is the purpose of what Jesus Christ wants us to be. Be unselfish. In verse 3, in chapter 2, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Folks, this whole thing is not about us, but it's about the kingdom of God that we are a part of, and how we want others to make it and be a part of the kingdom of God. We are not advancing ourselves. We want to advance the kingdom of God. Be humble. The scripture says, consider others better than yourself. And oftentimes when we read that, if I consider others better than myself, then we ask, what about me? But here, simply how that works. If I have two people standing right here, and they're talking to each other, and they're saying, I consider you better than myself. And the other person says, I consider you better than myself. So in everything, we are all part of it and we are not left out of all of this. Look not only to your own interests. It is not saying that we should not look at our interests and the things that concerns us. By all means, we should. But we should not be so wrapped up in ourselves and in our interests that nothing else or no one else matters. It's only my world and my world only. But as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, we should look out for the interests of others and what matters to them. A lot of people have an idea of what matters to them or what they might be interested in. They look at something and they say, oh, I like that. Or that's interesting. Or I would love to do that. Or maybe someone may mention something in conversation and they get all excited. But guess what? They do not know how to bring this whole thing to fruition. And this is where we come in and where we come into play to look out for the interests of others, to pray for them, to coach them, to help them see their potential, and to bring that whole idea or interest into fruition. And then have the attitude of Jesus, the scripture says. In chapter 2 and verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. He did not boast of his relationship with the Father. He did not say, look at me, I am the Son of the Most High God. Look at all the miracles that I did. Look at all the people who followed me along the way. He never said anything like that. The only boasting we should do is in the fact that Jesus came into our hearts and lives. He brought new meaning and the direction. All things are passed away and all things have become new. And we have a new relationship with Him. And we should boast about that day and night. Every day we should do that. He humbled, He became a servant. The Son of God became a servant. He came not to be served, but to serve. And like Christ, we too should have a servant's heart, serving out of love for God and for others. He humbled himself. There was never a moment when he was arrogant and proud. He was assertive. He was a no-nonsense person when it comes to it. But he was never arrogant and proud. And he was willing to give up his rights in order to obey God and serve people. It was a humbling act when the Son of God took time out for the children and put them on his lap and bless them and pray for them. Parents were bringing their children to him so that he could do that. It was a humbling act when the Son of God took a towel and a bowl of water and he says, I am going to wash my disciples' feet. And if you remember the story, Peter, not because he wanted to be arrogant or anything like that, but he said to Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. And that gripped his heart. And of course, he allowed Jesus to wash his feet. He became obedient unto death. But before we go to that, are we willing to forget our prestige, our status, our position, or how the public may see us and humble ourselves for the sake of Christ? He became obedient to that. He prayed that this cup, the cup of death, would pass over him, but he also prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He died not to or for himself, but he died for us. His body was broken and his blood was shed to free us from our sin. He gave his life so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And then he was exalted. He was exalted. God glorified Jesus Christ because of his obedience. In chapter 2, 9 to 11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The highest place, God raised Christ to his original position, and that is to the right hand of God the Father. There is no higher place than heaven. And that is the place we are looking forward to. That is the place that one day we are going to be in his presence. We are going to sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him. He was given a name above every name. You remember when he was even born, they say, "You shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Every knee shall bow. Every knee is not bowing right now to Jesus, but one day they will. Every tongue shall confess. Every tongue is not confessing Jesus Christ right now as Lord and a Savior and King of Kings. But one day they will have to confess that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That Jesus Christ is Lord indeed. Not everyone is acknowledging him now. He is Lord. People can choose to regard Jesus Christ now as a step of willing and loving commitment, or be forced to acknowledge him as Lord when he returns. Jesus Christ wants to be the center of our lives. He wants to be number one. And we should emulate him in every possible way we can, wherever we go. And he promised that he will be right there with us. Let us pray. In a prayerful attitude, in a little while, we are going to share at the Lord's table. And I don't know what area of this message or teaching may have touched your heart. But as you reflect on that today, As you ask the Lord to show you, "Lord, what can I do to be more like Jesus? What can I do to lead others into your kingdom with all that's happening around us?" We can all be thinking that, you know what? We are living in the last days. And think of the many people that you said, "One day, I'm going to tell that person about Jesus Christ." And maybe the time is nearer. Pray, ask God to impress upon your heart, upon your life, what you should do. At Hope Community Church, we do not have what some people call close communion. But anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, you may come and take part. And so to my right, I would ask those to come and to serve themselves. The first layer give you access to the bread, and the second layer give you access to the juice. So those on this side, why don't you come and help yourself? And those to my left, why don't you come and help yourself? take the bread and eat it and remember that the body of Jesus Christ was broken for you. Take and eat it now. And the juice which represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and drink it and remember that His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. You may drink it. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Jesus, for going to the cross, for giving Your life. Your body was broken, Your blood was shed because You so loved us. We give You praise, we give You thanks, honor and glory for all that You have done for us. And all of God's people say, Amen. Don't forget that we have a brief memorial for Sandra, for Norm's wife. Those remember Norm. And those who would like to stay just about maybe 10 minutes after we are dismissed, and you'd like to, we'll have the table at the back of the church, some pictures and some stuff that you can take with you. Okay, Sandra liked to paint stones that we give away to people, and there is a card there that you could take as well. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Zeb.